This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
That is back up! That is back up!
That is it! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
That is it! Yeah! Yeah!
That is Glasser! Goal!
It's podcast 46 from Football Adania, your home of Dutch football. You're listening to us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, or Football Nation Radio. I'm Michael Statham, and I'm joined by Michael Bell and James Rowe to preview the huge Champions League game between Ajax and Real Madrid, as well as answer all of your Twitter questions sent in to us. Enjoy. James, Mike, Ajax against Real Madrid on Wednesday. No one should miss this game. It's going to be massive for Dutch football fans. Ajax coming into this tie on the back of a 1-0 defeat to Heracles. Is that going to impact them for this game, the fact that it's a huge blow in their title race?
For me, I would say yes. I think if Real Madrid scouts were watching that game on Saturday, they would be rubbing their hands with the form that they're in. Ajax were a shambles all over the pitch, defensively especially. Heracles, they only won 1-0, but they could have got 2 or 3 goals in that game. I thought, the players just weren't coherent. They weren't playing as a team. They were just a shadow of themselves before the winter break. And, it's a good contrast because I think if we had did this podcast, say, at the end of December before the winter break, we'd be going, oh, Ajax are flying. It's Real Madrid that are the shambles. But now it's totally turned around. It's Real Madrid that are the team that's flying. They just beat their rivals on Saturday, Atletico, and Ajax are a shambles. So it's got to be interesting to see how they pick themselves up for this one, because it's a crucial one. They need to get out of Amsterdam with a victory if they're going to have any chance of getting through.
I think that they've been looking forward to this game for such a long time that I think they'll give their all, and I expect a reaction at the home match against Real Madrid in Amsterdam. I think when you look at the league form as well, I think Matthijs de Ligt, when he come out as captain and has given post-match interviews about how they don't appear to be the same since the winter break in terms of defending, in terms of mentality, in terms of knowing each other's roles. And he said a good point in his post-match last night after the match against Heracles, when he said that when you're not getting results, it can mentally play a role. But he also decided to elaborate on that by saying if we play at home to Real Madrid the same way we played tonight, we can expect to lose around about 7-0. My personal prediction for the home match in Amsterdam is that it's going to be a draw. I'm going to go for my prediction of 2-2. But I fully agree with Mike. If Ajax harbour ambitions to get through to the quarterfinals, they've got to win. Real Madrid are so much improved under a tricky start under Solari, where they're putting 3 or 4 goals past teams like Girona and Espanyol, and obviously winning at home to Sevilla, and they played well against Barcelona midweek in the Copa del Rey. Vinicius is providing a completely different outlet to them in terms of attacking threat and pace. So it's going to be a difficult game, but it was always going to be a difficult game. For me, when the draw was made, I think a lot of the Dutch press and Ajax fans got far too carried away by saying, we've got a fantastic chance. Yes, they did a tremendous job getting through a difficult Champions League group, but you're playing against the 3 times consecutive winner, and this is basically Real Madrid's cup. Regardless of the form Real Madrid are in, they're never going to give it up lightly. And I think that Ajax I think they'll react to the defeat from yesterday. I think they'll put in a good performance, but I think that the match will end up a 2-2 draw.
Without doubt, having seen how Ajax play in the Champions League, they're going to step up on the evening. That's without doubt. But still, they're losing to a mid-table team in the Eredivisie. That can happen, but we've seen it now, haven't we, since the winter break, that it hasn't quite been the same. And when you see that 1-0 defeat, the likes of Hakim Ziyech, normally he's involved in all of Ajax's best moves. Yesterday, quite anonymous in terms of Ajax's best attacking moves. I don't think he created any meaningful opportunities. Andre Onana making mistakes. Even Frenkie de Jong wasn't at his best, but I think that's perhaps slightly understandable. He was carrying an injury, had to come off towards the end. But James, you mentioned about Matthijs de Ligt's interview after the game. How important is it to have a character like him, even at 19 years of age, giving an interview like this. Here's some quotes. You know, we've said quietly in the dressing room, where are we with our head? What is it about Ajax before the winter break? It's not there now. And how are we going to find it again? It's very difficult to say where it is. And he goes on to say about how they were very sloppy with the ball, giving the ball away far too easily. He then says this, that summarises the game today, and that is the problem of this group. On paper, we should beat Heracles, but then you have to show that you're Ajax. We let ourselves be slaughtered like silly sheep, and that is not allowed. It is unbelievable. Very strong words, but how important is it to have a person like him in the Ajax team?
It's vitally important, but it's also it shows that he's got a fantastic quality to show so much honesty. I mean, I watch his interviews regularly, and even in his vocabulary and the words he's using and how he puts everything completely clear and concise in his own language is nothing short of incredible for a kid of 19. And I think those kind of qualities show how much of a winner he is. I mean, I've watched him play live on many occasions, and the last time I watched Ajax before the winter break at home was when they beat De Graafschap 8-0. And I remember they were 4-0 up, and there was not very often a regular attack from De Graafschap, but he was fighting tooth and nail to defend his space and to head the ball away. And he's just so assured to be so young. You know, it's one of these once in a generation players that come along, and because of the way he is intelligence wise, I'm convinced that when he does leave Ajax, he's gonna surprise everybody with his choice of where he's gonna go, because I know people are linking him with basically every European club, and rightly so due to the qualities he's got. But I'm convinced that he's going to assess his options properly, and he's going to make the right decision for him. And be very interesting to see what team he eventually chooses to kick on in the next part of his career.
Just something to point out about this, though. It's basically the same quote as what he said after the Feyenoord game. And for me, it's a bit of a worry for Ajax that, you know, they got hammered 6-2 by Feyenoord, and he comes out and says stuff like this. And then they lose to Heracles 2 weeks later, and he's still saying the same thing. Isn't it down to Erik ten Hag to have figured this out by now? They seem to be wondering why they're playing like this for the past 4 weeks and still can't figure out why. I've seen in the Dutch press that ten Hag's come under a bit of pressure after the result yesterday. But surely it's time to start looking at him. He doesn't have a plan B. His substitutions were a bit strange yesterday. Surely after the loss to Feyenoord, he should be shoring up that defence, but he just look a shadow of themselves. So how much of this is actually down to Ten Hag at the moment?
I think it's a great point, and you're right, Mike, about coming under pressure from the Dutch press. That pressure started really in the manner upon which they were defeated by Feyenoord, and that pressure will now only increase due to an away game against Heracles. But Heracles on AstroTurf is well known for being not a difficult away day, but an away day that players don't really fancy. You know, like going to play on AstroTurf, you know, all the way to Almelo. And I think Heracles also disposed of Ajax, I think it was the season before last, at home. So it's not well known they have a tremendous record there. But I don't know if players have one eye on the Champions League home match. But going back to Ziyech, there was strong links that Dortmund came in for him in January, and it hasn't been completely divulged as to what happened in terms of bids that were submitted or rejected. But I can imagine if Dortmund comes in for you and it doesn't quite come off, like with Dolberg going to Monaco, where the club are saying, we can't let you go because we can't find a replacement, you wonder what that can do to him mentally. You know, I think he'll react well in the match against Real Madrid, because he'll know it's an opportunity to put himself forward in the shop window to get that transfer to a bigger European club and a better league, hopefully in the summer.
It's interesting how you've been mentioning the potential transfers of Ajax players, because some of the reactions on Twitter picked up on this, and perhaps trying to explain why Ajax struggled so much against Heracles. For example, Cam, he says, are the current Ajax players too concerned with their next transfer move? PSV and Feyenoord, during their recent league title, didn't seem to have much drama and transfer talk every transfer window. It's the only conclusion that I can come up with, since they've had so much talent. And also, Gareth says this, Are the recent struggles at Ajax down to players being distracted and thinking about their futures and putting in selfish and poor performances?
I think that's a valid point, but I think this, if should Ajax not win the league this season, it's 5 years since the last league title. And you think of all the common denominators about that and what's led to that, I think the players have really got to regroup, because, you know, it would be sad for Frenkie de Jong, for example, to leave for Barcelona, not having won anything in his homeland. You know, you don't know how he's going to, how his career is going to kick on at Barcelona. I'm sure he'll win trophies, but as a Dutch player, you know, born and raised in this country, to leave the professional game in this country not winning, yeah, that can leave a little bit of a strange question mark. So I think the players have got to really regroup and try to win something, even if that is the Dutch Cup, the play final in the semi-finals. And but yeah, it all depends on Utrecht's PSV this afternoon. Should PSV win, it'll be an 8-point gap, and yeah, with only 12 games to go from here on, it's looking unlikely that Ajax would turn the tide. But I still think, you know, that there's still a few twists and turns ahead, I believe.
I think for me, I saw it described yesterday as Ajax aren't a team. They're 11 individuals on a pitch who all look after themselves. And I think that performance yesterday highlights that. There's a moment midway through the second half where Ziyech played Huntelaar through on goal. And Huntelaar, you know, hit it against the goalkeeper, and behind him, Ziyech was throwing his arms up in the air and, you know, having a go at Huntelaar for missing. And I think that's just Ajax at the moment. They're not a team. They don't play for each other. They're playing for themselves. And I think that comes down to the leadership around the club. If you get the best Ajax sides, they all had a leader. You know, Van Gaal wouldn't allow these players to get control. Rinus Michels would have been in charge of the Ajax squad of the 70s. Is Erik ten Hag that stronger personality where he's taking these players and bossing them around? I don't really think so. I think maybe the dressing room maybe has a bit more of an influence on this side, and I think that's one of the reasons why Ajax are dropping in form at the moment.
It's an interesting point, and I guess you're right about how it doesn't matter about how the players think about the future, because the manager is the person that's going to take control of that. And Ten Hag did come in for some criticism when he first joined Ajax about that sort of thing, didn't he? And it was a lack of control over the players, a lack of ideas with the squad, players giving him rude remarks almost and him not fully dealing with it. But then after that, it all went very quiet once he was getting some fantastic results in the league and in Europe. But now it's come back, spiral back down to this situation where he simply doesn't have control. Is it as simple as that with Ajax?
I think he's feeling the pressure as well. You know, if you think of the experience he's got as a manager, you know, with the likes of Go Ahead Eagles and Utrecht and the reserve team of Bayern Munich when Pep Guardiola was there, I think he himself is feeling the pressure. You know, it's the biggest club in the country. It's a huge club to manage. You know, there's always different different interests from all over the club. You know, it can be difficult at times. I think he gave himself a massive shot in the arm to get through the Champions League qualifying rounds and the Champions League group. But, you know, it can take its toll, you know, especially when you lose to Feyenoord in such a manner. You know, I mean, to lose that game, you're in for criticism regardless, but to lose that game 6-2 and now to go away to Heracles and also lose, the pressure's mounting. And yeah, he's got to find a balance now of regrouping those players to have that final push for the season, because I'm convinced that should he not win anything with this group of players, and should he not show what's needed, I think Ajax may well look elsewhere in the future.
So that's more about Ajax then. Let's concentrate slightly on Real Madrid. They are on a run of form of played 7, won 6, drawn 1, and that draw was against Barcelona in the Spanish Cup. Now, this is a completely different team to the one we were talking about in December when we spoke briefly about Real Madrid coming into this tie perhaps with some poor form, but they've turned it around, haven't they?
They have turned it around, but they're always going to get themselves up for this, their competition, their cup. You know, to win it 3 times in a row was is the stuff of miracles, really. And they're not going to give it up lightly. And they're in such good form under a tricky start with Solari that they will give Ajax a tough game. But yeah, Ajax have got to stand toe to toe to them and try to fight and try to get something out of the game, primarily a victory if they do harbour ambitions to get through. But you know, Real Madrid at home is always going to be a big ask. But you know, this is what the club wanted. You know, going through to the qualifying rounds when this all started against Sturm Graz and Standard Liège and Dynamo Kiev, they wanted to entertain the biggest clubs in the world at home. They wanted to give the likes of Bayern Munich and Benfica a good game, and they did that, and they caused a surprise. So yeah, this is what they wanted. So they mustn't forget that. But you know, you're never going to find a Real Madrid side that are lacking in heart or energy in that respect. And I think in Amsterdam, that will be no different.
Okay, and one of the most recent results within those seven games that they played was a 3-1 victory away at Atletico Madrid. So, that, you know, they're really coming back into some a rich vein of form. Who do we think some of the key battles will be in this tie between some of the Real Madrid players and the Ajax players?
I think, for me, you look at the Real Madrid squad, and there's talent all over the pitch. I mean, Vinicius Jr. has been a great addition, but you got to look at Benzema. He's in great form at the moment. He scored 4 goals in his last 5 games. And you look at with the way Daley Blind defended against Heracles, and you've got to be aware that Benzema might run riot, especially with Gareth Bale on form next time as well. I think the front three of Real Madrid are going to have a lot of joy against Ajax if they don't shore up that defence. At the other end of the pitch, it seems to me that Ten Hag's been rotating the striker at the moment. Kasper Dolberg and Klaas-Jan Huntelaar haven't been in great form recently, and it's going to be up to the likes of Ziyech and Tadic to really fire this Ajax side to a victory. I think Ten Hag might even go back to his trusted Champions League formation of playing Tadic for the middle, because of the form of Huntelaar and Dolberg at the moment. I think Tadic and Ziyech are going to be the key men for Ajax.
I think Michael makes a great point about Ten Hag going back to his Champions League formation, because I think that, along with the determination as a group of players, got them through the group phase. And when you look at the quality of that Real Madrid side, you know, you've got such a winner in Sergio Ramos, Toni Kroos, Modric, Benzema, as Mike says, is in great form. But I think Vinicius as well, you know, he provided such a different outlet for Real Madrid in the Copa del Rey. I think that he's gonna push on, and he'll give some Ajax something different to think about. But it's gonna be a tough game. But the crowds have got to really get behind them, you know, and they'll definitely do that. But Real Madrid at home is never easy. But I think the fans, and also certain members of the club, were guilty when the draw was made initially of getting far too carried away. And yeah, they've got to regroup and really fight hard against Real Madrid in Amsterdam. And that's why I think they will. I think there will be a reaction. But my prediction, once again, is a draw.
Yeah, I think if we're just going to give our predictions now, James, you think it's going to be a draw? You said 2-2 early. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, 2-2.
For me, I think it's going to be a Real Madrid win. I think there will be a reaction from Ajax. But as I said before, this is possibly 11 egos on the pitch. And I think they'll raise their game against the bigger side as in Real Madrid to show themselves. But I think Real Madrid are going to have a bit too much in their attack, and I think they're going to win 2-1. And that's my prediction. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope Ajax can do something great for Dutch football. But I just think if you look at the two sides at the moment, there's only one clear side in form. And that Ajax defence, to me, is a bit of a worry. And then you've got Frenkie de Jong's injury as well. Is he going to be fully fit with his groin injury? He looked really bad against Heracles, came off, he had ice pack on his groin. He's got 3 days to recover. He's going to be chomping at the bit to get this Real Madrid midfield ahead of next season. But you know, you need a fully fit De Jong in there, and I don't think he is going to be fully fit. So I think everyone's pointing towards a Real Madrid victory in this one, sadly.
Yeah, I think if you've watched Ajax in the league since the winter break, this is not the same team that was playing before the winter break. And I would have been a lot more positive before, and perhaps suggested a win was possible. But now I'm thinking maybe a 3-1 win to Real Madrid. The defence isn't what it was. It's not as solid. There's mistakes riddled in there. I think that will affect the confidence. I do think that Ajax will get themselves up for the evening, for the occasion, and they'll really put in a much better performance. But I don't think it's going to be enough, unfortunately. Therefore, 3-1 defeat. Let's move on to some more of our questions that we've got that are related to the Eredivisie this week. I'm going to skip over one of them from Alex Jans. He would like to know more if Ajax is going to have a big rebuild of players in the summer. And I guess we'd all say we imagine so, with certain key players leaving, De Ligt, Frank de Jong, of course. And there is certainly, he said about Ziyech being a passenger, and I think he's right. But whether some of these new players are going to come in and replace them, how long will that take to settle, we're not sure on. But one question that's related to that is Calvin Stengs. Vic would like to talk about him, as he's been linked with a summer move to Ajax. Or is it possible that he might move to another league, the Bundesliga or Serie A?
I think something interesting came out in the Dutch press this week that Max Huberts, the AZ director, was involved in a radio show and he was speaking to a couple of Dutch journalists, and he got asked about the possibility of Calvin Stengs leaving, say, for Ajax in the summer. And he was basically said that the club don't want to do business with either Ajax or PSV anymore, because one, they want to close the gap, so if they keep selling their best players to Ajax and PSV, there's no point. And the other one is that there's a gentleman's agreement between all the big clubs at the moment that, say, if AZ have a youth player coming through that's 15, Ajax won't try and poach him. And I think they've gone against that recently, and AZ basically aren't very happy. So I think at the moment you'd say that AZ really don't want to sell him to Ajax, so that deal doesn't look very likely. I guess money talks, and if Ajax put in a bid of 20, 30 million, you know, AZ probably aren't going to say no. But, for AZ fans, it seems positive that Stengs came out at the weekend and said that he wants to stay next season as well. We'll see in the summer, he's got Rayo as his agent now, so if a big club comes in for him and if he keeps the form up, that's exactly what's going to happen. I predict that he'll get a Netherlands call-up next month. I think he'll be playing this sort of form until the end of March, and you've got the likes of Kluivert, Dilrosun, Danjuma all not playing at the moment, so I think that opens up a gap for him, and I think he'll take it. And I think we'll see soon that the bigger clubs around Europe start to take a notice in him, and I think a Bundesliga move would be perfect for him.
I think he's done really well to come back from his terrible injury. You know, when to come back from such a terrible injury at such a young age, he's done really, really well. I wonder if a move to Europe, to another country, would come too soon. I think for him personally as a player, for his development, I know there is a gentleman agreement in place, but he's got to look at what's best for him. I think it would be best for him to go to Ajax first, and then playing a regular European football as well would help him become even better in his development before looking for a move abroad. I wonder, you know, to come back for such a terrible injury and then not so long afterwards, after playing out of your skin, to go to the likes of the Bundesliga or Serie A, if that may come a little bit too soon for him. So I think I said as well, with the assistant of Van der Brom, Arne Slot, taking over next season, I wonder if Stengs is going to kick on under such a manager. And so I think the best thing for him to do would be, if Ajax do come in for him, to try and get that move in order to push on in his development.
I'm just delighted to see Stengs back on the pitch, Razed, and because when he first came back from his long-term injury, he just didn't look the same player. I guess we can't expect him to be 100% the way he was straight away, but it did take him a few months to really get back into gear, and now he looks like a quality player again. And that's my personal opinion. I just think that he's better off staying at RZ for another year or two and then going to another league so he can progress with the club rather than weaken the club further and further divide this gap that's developing between the top three and the rest of the clubs, because someone like Stengs can make that difference and win RZ plenty of games to get them closer to that top three. It'd be nice for him to experience European football in a competitive Eredivisie team before he then moves on to another league. The next question that I'd like to go through talks more about Feyenoord. Jordan would like to know why there was so much negativity around Dick Advocaat's potentially becoming Feyenoord manager. There was a particularly spicy press conference, wasn't there, when Dick Advocaat, manager of Utrecht, was talking about potentially becoming final manager.
Yeah, I thought he was really honest in the press conference. And the two things that stuck with me were as follows. Advocaat described Advocaat describes Feyenoord as a great club, but a difficult club, where the club and the squad in particular are they're due for renewal. The team is due for renewal, and that's going to cost a lot of time and it's going to cost a lot of energy. And he's at the age of 71 now, and whether he's got the energy to really want to do that. And he's been around the block so many times, he's so vastly experienced, that he knows that is he the man to be able to do such a thing at that age. And I think he was politely saying, no, I'm not. And I think that needs to be applauded, you know, because he's often been criticised, Advocaat, for taking the money everywhere he goes. And, you know, by the same token, he could have said yes to Feyenoord, and that would have been that, or that appears to be the case. But I think for Advocaat to say, no, the new manager of Feyenoord must be a younger manager who's got to rejuvenate the squad and look forward to a move to a new stadium as well, and get the whole fans behind them and be ready to go into a new era together. And I think that Advocaat, I think he worded that really well. And I think he's not the man to become the new manager of Feyenoord. He knows that himself. But I thought his honesty is something that needed to be applauded.
For me, if I was a Feyenoord fan, I would be a bit worried about the summer. I think as a club, they're not a great proposition at the moment for a coach coming in. Their best player is going to retire in the summer in Van Persie. Then you're looking at probably three or four of their best players leaving. St. Juste, Vilhena, Jorgensen, Berghuis. They're all going to look to get moves away. And then with the new stadium coming, is that money going to be made available for transfers? Probably not. So somebody that comes in is going to have to look at the youth that's coming through the club at the moment. There's a lot of young talents coming through there. They're going to have to be the backbone of the squad next year. So coming into that squad without key players and basically just being a stopgap until Dirk Kuyt gets his diploma, which just seems what Advocaat was. They basically just went, okay, we'll wait for a year until he gets his right coaching badges. Advocaat, you'll come in for a year, see over the squad. I'm sure you'll do fine, and then we'll kick on after a season when we'll have a bit more money. So for me, I think next year is going to be a difficult one in Rotterdam, because I don't think things are in place for a major squad overhaul in the summer.
I think Dick Advocaat is a stopgap manager for Utrecht, and he would be the same thing for Feyenoord. It's not an ambitious appointment. It's a solid appointment, but I'm not sure that's what Feyenoord need now that Van Bronckhorst is leaving, because he has been that solid manager that's overseen a good period in the club's history, but now it's over, it needs something new and fresh rather than someone like Dick Advocaat to come in. The final question we have this week comes from William, and he would like to know where Arjen Robben is going to be this summer. Does Groningen have a chance of signing their former player over PSV?
I guess we're going to play devil's advocate in this one, but I'm going to say they possibly have a chance. I mean, they have... He is a fan of Groningen. He's at the games regularly. You know, they can pull on his heartstrings, saying that, you know, if depending on how he feels at the end of the season, he's had some injuries this year. So he might see next year as his final year, and what better way to end his career than, you know, playing at his boyhood club, the one that he loves, for just one more year. You know, that's the angle that they're going to pitch to him, that he's a hero for them and he's going to stay there for a year. Obviously, there's PSV coming in for him as well. They would offer him, you know, European football, a chance to win a title again. And according to reports in Germany, there's clubs from, you know, England, Italy, Spain all looking at him, and ones from Japan. I don't think he'll take the one from Japan. I don't think he's the sort of player that wants to go somewhere just for one last paycheck. But I think it is generally down to PSV and Groningen, and it's who can give them the best offer for him. But I think Groningen have a small chance. It's a small chance, but they have a small chance, definitely.
I think it will be PSV. I think what we'll see the deal over the line is that I think PSV will make it clear to him that after that season playing, that they'll make the pathway clear for him to join maybe with a backroom staff or to train up the youth players. And I think he'll be really, really attracted to that. You know, this is a player who's he's one of the best Dutch players of his generation. He's had an absolutely tremendous career. You know, he's the most decorated Dutch player in terms of titles and medals and the amount that he's won, and to be such a role model for so many young players as well, and that it's just had a tremendous career. But I think with the deal that PSV are putting in place for him to, basically it will be his choice after that playing season of, do you want to join the backroom staff? Do you want to help train up the young midfielders maybe? Do you help him with the young players? I think he'll be really attracted to that. So I think the whole package that PSV will offer, I think he'll, although his old club might does make a good point. Yeah, they might have a small chance, but I think the package that PSV will put together and the way they'll put it together will be too good for him to turn down, I think.
Yeah, fingers crossed we get to see him play back in the Netherlands anyway, because what a legend of Dutch football. And yeah, let's hope he gets to play again, perhaps in European football with PSV. James, Mike, thank you very much for joining me on this podcast.
You're more than welcome anytime.
Thank you.
And we will make another podcast very soon with a full comprehensive overview of the Eredivisie, Ajax against Real Madrid's result, and with a look ahead to the Netherlands games coming up in March. Thank you for listening.
Klaassen, goal!